Good morning. It's a beautiful Lord's Day, and it's certainly a joy to be able to come together like we are today to worship our God. And we are so grateful that you're here today, and we are especially honored to have several who are visiting with us today, and I hope that you'll want to come back and be with us and worship with us anytime that you have an opportunity. Of course, we still have several families who are gone out of town this week, but we're glad to have our youth group back. And I know they're tired and fairly worn out from a hard and difficult week. Their eyelids are heavy this morning, but they're here. And we're glad that they came back safely to us yesterday, and we look forward to hearing about the good work that they've done throughout last week at a future time. And we appreciate all the good that was accomplished. I've got something unusual coming up for me. I'm going to be in a gospel meeting beginning on Sunday. That's unusual because the following Sunday after that, I'm going to be in another gospel meeting. I always try to avoid scheduling gospel meetings back to back, but sometimes that cannot be avoided. So I'm going to be in Andalusia next Sunday, and then I'll be up in Winfield, Alabama the following Sunday. And I wish that had not transpired the way it did, but that's how things fall sometime. But the good news is that's the last appointment that I have for the year, so I am thankful for that. So I will miss you while I'm away, but you're going to be in good hands. We've got an excellent lineup of speakers that will be here, and I hope that you'll plan to be here as well. Hope you'll come back tonight at 5 o'clock. I hope you'll try to bring somebody with you, and I believe you'll be encouraged if you'll come back tonight. She was only about 19 years old, and it was very obvious in talking to her and seeing her that the world had certainly worn her down tremendously. She looked much older than her years. She had that little infant in her arms, and she talked in great desperation. She had left home with her so-called boyfriend, weren't married, and now he had abandoned her, being an individual of no character himself at all. And of course, her family, being from the world, would have nothing to do with her and her situation, and so she could not go home, and they would not allow her to go home. And here was an individual that was very, very desperate. And here's an individual that literally felt like nobody in the world cared what happened to her. Now, there's a lot of folks in our world today that feel just about the same way. I've talked to people on numerous occasions, sad to say, that feel like nobody in the world cares about them at all. They don't feel like anybody cares if they live or if they die, that they're just totally insignificant, and they just don't matter. And to me, one of the saddest situations in all the world, one of the most pathetic things that can possibly happen, is for an individual to get to the point where they feel like nobody at all cares about me. Now, generally, we hear that in the physical realm, that nobody cares about my physical well-being. They don't care if I live or die. But this morning, we're going to be talking about our spiritual well-being, our soul, our eternal destiny. You know, if an individual dies in a lost condition, does anybody really care? You know, we live in a world of over 6 billion people. Now, most are lost and without hope. And so, if I die in a lost condition, if I am in a lost condition, Does anybody really care? We often hear that statement that, you know, nobody really cares for me. We live in a society today which emphasizes, you know, being self-oriented. It appears that nobody really cares about us. Everybody wants to do their own thing. They want to mind their own business. Gone, it seems like, are the days when neighbors would go to the aid of their neighbors and be willing to help and assist somebody else in time of need. Many times crimes are committed today, and when investigations try to solve that particular crime, eyewitnesses won't say anything because, you see, they don't want to get involved. It's none of their business. That's a society today that we live in by and large. And sadly, many people become somewhat distressed, even depressed, because it seems like nobody really cares. Suicide is the leading cause of death among teenagers. Many cases because they feel like nobody really cares for me. I think about David on one occasion. He felt that way. Of course, David was a man after God's own heart. He was a great man in the Bible that encourages us in so many ways. But David, as he was fleeing from Saul for fear of his own life, he felt that way. Over in the book of Psalms chapter 142, beginning in verse 2, David said, "I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me." Have you ever felt that way before? Just overwhelmed, feeling like there's no way out, nobody's going to help me. The Bible says, "You knew my path in that situation, and the way wherein I walked, they have privately set a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." Isn't it sad for an individual to feel like nobody cares about me? Even sadder is the idea that, you know, nobody cares about my spiritual well-being, my soul. And I know there are times that each of us go through those periods of life where we're down and discouraged because of the conditions that prevail in our lives. At times, each of us may feel like that we're insignificant. At times, maybe, you know, we just want to give up and say, "Well, who cares? You know, it doesn't matter what we seem to be doing. It just doesn't seem to work out like it should. Who cares? Who cares if I die? Who cares if I'm lost?" Now, certainly it's obvious today that the world does not care if one is saved or lost. You know, if you think about the world today, if you think about our civilization today, you know, they're concerned about the World Cup championship this afternoon. That's what's on their mind. You know, they're concerned about, you know, LeBron James and how his decision to switch basketball teams. They're concerned about that kind of thing. Or they're concerned about the economy and the situation that now exists in our times today with loss of job and economic uncertainty. Or, of course, there's the oil spill down in the Gulf. There's a major concern throughout the world, particularly in the United States, about that situation. Or maybe, you know, there's the concern about health care. We hear that discussed a lot. And of course, we are in a strong political time, and voting is Tuesday, and of course in November, and we hear a lot of issues brought up that people are concerned about. But how often do you hear on the news, How often do you hear people expressing concern over the airways about the spiritual condition of a lost and dying world? The world does not care. You don't hear world leaders talking about the spiritual plight of men and women. You look today at movies and music and modern culture, they often deny God, they glorify death, ignore heaven, they make a mockery of hell. Spiritual things are many times looked upon in disdain. Spiritual things just aren't important at all. Politicians and famous people, athletes, the world's majority, for the most part, could care less. People of influence today in our world don't care about somebody else's spiritual condition. Spiritual matters in our world today, if we just make a casual observation, spiritual matters, the souls of people, often take a back seat if given any priority at all. And so the question that we're going to briefly focus on this morning, if you die in a lost condition, who cares? Now, I want you to leave here this morning after we finish this lesson with the confidence and hope that there are people that do care. There are folks that care about the salvation of the world. There are those that care about your salvation personally and individually. And you need to realize that, and you need to understand that, and you need to share that concern with other people. May I suggest to you, first of all, that God cares. God cares about you. God cares about the spiritual condition of our world today. God loves you, and He loves me. The Bible talks about in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 how that God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. God's going to keep His word. He always has. He always will. And the Bible describes God here as one who is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't view people like we do. We view people from an outward appearance. We view people many times as people of being of different races or nationalities or maybe socioeconomic classes. We view people from an outward appearance. God loves and sees all people equally. And the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. Romans 5 and verse 8 says that God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still in a state of rebellion and total apathy toward God, the Bible says Christ died for us. While still in that rebellious state, when we could care less about God, God loved us and sent Jesus Christ. The golden text of the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God so loved the world. And we need to look at that from a personal standpoint. That passage could just as well read, God so loved you. Put your name there. God so loved me. If you were the only individual on this planet, God still would have sent His Son to die for you. Or we think about what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You need to realize today, God loves you. He's concerned about your soul, who you are, and He wants you to live with Him forever. But not only does our Creator and Sustainer care about us, but may I suggest to you that Jesus cares as well. The Bible says in Matthew 18 and verse 11 that the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Why did Jesus come to this world? Why did Jesus empty Himself? Why did He leave the glories of heaven to come down and live like one of us? He came to save us from our sins. He loved us, and He washed us from our sins in His own blood, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. That's why the Bible says that we can cast all our care upon Him, because He cares for you. When you get to the point in life where you feel like that nobody cares, nobody's really concerned, you need to realize that Jesus knows and He cares. We sing that beautiful song, "My Jesus Knows When I Am Lonely." He knows each pain. He sees each tear. Jesus is our sympathizing Savior, and He cares deeply about our eternal salvation. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And because of the love that Jesus has toward us, He extends that wonderful invitation. "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Jesus wants us to have that rest. He wants us to have that peace, that hope that sustains us. He cares very, very much. And then let me suggest to you as well that not only does God and Jesus care, but all of heaven's occupants care as well. Over in Luke chapter 15, we read about those three different situations that illustrate the importance of just a single individual in the eyes of God. We read about the parable of the lost coin. We read about the lost sheep. We remember very fondly the prodigal son who left his father and wasted his substance in riotous living, and yet when he came back home, his father was waiting to welcome him back with open arms. And the Bible says in that great chapter, "I say unto you," Luke 15 verse 7, "that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance." Look at verse 10. "Likewise I say unto you that there's joy in the presence of the angels of heaven over one sinner that repents." Do you realize today that the occupants of heaven, the angels, that they're concerned about you and your salvation? And when you choose to give your life for the Lord and you live for the Lord, there's joy in the presence of the angels over that one individual that chooses to serve the Lord. But may I suggest as well today that the preacher cares as well. I, as a gospel preacher, and all gospel preachers that I know genuinely care about the souls of other people. To me, the greatest example of a gospel preacher, the model gospel preacher, is the Apostle Paul. It's going to be difficult for any of us to match his attitude and his zeal and his enthusiasm for the lost. Paul would say there in Romans 10 and verse 1, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul would even say on one occasion that I could even wish myself were accursed if it could mean the salvation of my brethren. Paul had a great desire to seek and save the lost. And Paul was concerned about the salvation of other people. That was his motivation for preaching the good news of salvation. That's why in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." There's nothing that gains me glory and honor by preaching the gospel. Paul said, "Necessity is laid upon me. This is vital. This is urgent. I'm indebted both to the Jews and the Greeks. I'm indebted to all men." He said, "Yea, and woe is me if I preach not the gospel." I, as a preacher, care about the souls of other people. I hope I can get to the point, or at least go in that direction that Paul had, his attitude. Everything in Paul's life, every single thing in Paul's life, centered around his concern for lost souls. But may I suggest to you also that not only gospel preachers care, but the elders care. The elders here at this church care about the souls of other people. I sit on occasion and talk with these men. I talk with elders in numerous congregations, and my personal experience is that the elders that I know, the elders that I've talked to, are concerned about the souls of the lost. Oh, they want things to go well for the church. They're things that they have to take care of, but their main concern is for the salvation, not only of the church here, but the salvation of many throughout the world. The Bible here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, as Paul met with those elders at Ephesus on the Isle of Miletus, in those parting words, Paul said to those elders, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and all the flock," the church there, "over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed," or to shepherd, "the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." Elders, by who they are, by their character, by their nature, they're concerned about the souls of you and me. They agonize over one who leaves the Lord. It breaks the heart of men who are God's leaders to see one to turn his back on the Lord. We observe in Hebrews 13 verse 7, "Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation and manner of life." You see, elders live their lives with the idea in mind that they're to be examples to each of us, that we are to follow them. They want us to end up with eternal life, and they want us to lead. They want to lead us in that direction. elders, our leaders, our shepherds are concerned. And then may I suggest as well that faithful Christians likewise are concerned. I know that many brethren here are concerned about the salvation of other people. There are many things that are going on here that are not advertised. A trumpet is not blown, but I know of many people who are involved in trying to reach their neighbor, their co-worker, one of their dear relatives with the gospel. Faithful Christians are concerned. The Bible says here we love Him because He first loved us. And as a Christian, we recognize the fact that He loved us. And we love Him. And because we love Him, we want to share that good news with other people. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And one of those commandments is to go out and to preach the gospel. To go into all the world and share the good news. Preach the gospel to every creature. I think about those early Christians as they obeyed the gospel. Acts chapter 8 talks about a great persecution that came against the church there at Jerusalem. And because of that persecution, the Bible says they had to leave their homes. They had to be scattered abroad. And the Bible says they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, why did they do that? What was their motivation of preaching the word? Was it just because that they had that obligation? Was it just because the apostles told them to do that? Was it some kind of agenda that they had? I don't think so. They went everywhere preaching the word because they realized that people were lost without Jesus Christ. They realized that they were taught to teach somebody else, that they were baptized to baptize somebody else. They understood the urgency of sharing the good news of salvation. And that's why that early church grew so rapidly. That's why their number multiplied. And we need to feel that sense of urgency as well. The Lord said to the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. That's our mission today, to compel people to come to the Lord, to obey Him, that they might have salvation. That great invitation says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's joy, to be able to bring somebody to Christ. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him who is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. But let me close today by suggesting as well that those who are already in torment deeply care about your salvation. We read about that rich man in Luke chapter 15 who was lost. The Bible says in Hades, he lifted up his eyes being in torments, and he said to Abraham, I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send him, that is Lazarus, to my father's house. And I want you to do this because I have five brothers, and I want Lazarus to testify to them, lest they come to this place of torment. That rich man all of a sudden was concerned about the lost. Now that he was in torment, he didn't want his five brothers back on earth to come to that awful place. It's sad to me that the dead care more about the living than the living care about the dead. That rich man was concerned about the salvation of his brothers. He knew his lost condition. And he wanted to be able to warn his five brothers. But Abraham told him, he said, it won't do any good. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the Word of God. If they won't make their lives right and change their lives because of the Word of God, they wouldn't change their lives even though somebody did go back to them from the dead. Think about today. Those that care about your soul and my soul, the souls of the world. If you feel like nobody cares, you need to realize today that many do care. We've talked about the fact that God cares. Jesus cares deeply about you. The occupants of heaven rejoice when one makes their lives right with God. Gospel preachers care. Elders care about your soul. They shepherd the flock of God with love for you in their hearts. Faithful Christians that I know care deeply about your salvation and your spiritual life. And those already in torment care. But the question that we have to consider today as we sing this song of encouragement, this is the most important question. When it comes to your salvation and where you're going to spend eternity, the question is, do you care? Because you see, you've got to make a choice whether you're going to give your life to the Lord or whether you're going to continue to live your life fulfilling your own lust and desires in this world. God wants you to be saved. He's given us His Word. He's shown us the way. You see, if you're not a Christian today, you can become one. You can leave that past way of life and you can leave this building a New Testament Christian. If upon the foundation of the faith that you have today, you're willing to repent of your sins, change your life, make that confession that Jesus is the Son of God and then be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. This morning,